Welcome to the new For Purpose CEO podcast.
I'm Michelle.
I am Danielle. And we are here to talk about being a CEO in the for-purpose sector. Each episode, we will talk about issues not-for-profit and for-purpose CEOs need to manage based on our 30-plus years of experience. It will be an honest discussion of the highs and the lows, helping you tackle the unique challenges of running a NFP.
Leading can be challenging and sometimes lonely. We get it. Join us and our guests weekly for an honest discussion about running a for-purpose organisation. We will be sharing practical tips, shared experiences and real-world stories to help you tackle the unique challenges of running a for-purpose organisation.
Okay, so today we're going to talk about your CEO reporting or your CEO report. And we have done an earlier episode. In fact, I think it was one of our first episodes about the CEO report. And we talked, I guess, in quite a bit of detail about the CEO report and things that should have in it and how you structure it and what you should be aiming for. But we have got quite a bit of feedback for more specifics, like specifically, can you talk us through what a CEO report should look like? Almost like, can you give us some actual content headings? And of course we can. So Danielle and I were talking earlier and Danielle started talking about the 3x3 report or the 3+3 report, the structure that you have been using. So it's actually a really good one to simplify and it's quite easy to kind of understand and stick to, though we were talking earlier and I obviously have some questions, but I guess the first thing to say is, Danielle, do you use this? Like, do you actually structure your CEO reports using this structure?
I use elements of it, and I use elements of it only because in the design and development of my current CEO report, I actually did that with the board. So, or I did it with members of the board in terms of I first had a conversation with them about what's important to you, what it is that you want to know, so that I made sure that the structure of the CEO report was meeting their needs. But of course, obviously, the CEO report needs to meet the CEO's needs too, because there are things that you need to be able to get in front of the board for particular reasons, just even if it's strategic updates in information or alerting the board to issues that may not be a pain point now, but might emerge as a pain point. You don't want to surprise people. So use elements of it, not exactly this structure, but I think it is a good structure to help a CEO have a bit of a rhythm. It also helps, depending on your meeting cadence. I don't know if you found this, Michelle. I find this, you know, if you're meeting monthly or each quarter, each 2 months, whatever is your meeting cadence, you're always putting in the back of your mind or you've got a blank Word document or something like that where you're making notes around things to put in your board report, your CEO report.
Well, yeah, and I think that's the key, right? To have a framework that works for you, works for the board. So yeah, absolutely. You need to check in that the board's happy with this framework or your chair, I guess, is that initial conversation with your chair. But I think, yes, the same thing in the sense that I think I said earlier in our earlier episode that in one job I had inherited this board reporting, which was just bigger than Ben-Hur. And I just looked at it and thought, oh my God, this is just going to be so much work for every board meeting. And we need a template. We need a framework. And I think having now sat on both sides, like as a board member and as a CEO, that familiarity, that structure where you know where things are, you know the layout, I think that makes everyone's life easier.
That's right. So you as the reader, if you know it's a standard structure, you know like the things that are important to you, you know where to find that in your report, don't you, as a board member, as a director? Equally as a CEO, when you're collecting information between meetings that you want to be able to report on, you know which sections that goes in, but you also know that the bits that you're putting into the report are actually relevant to that structure as well, and you're not overdoing the narrative or you're not overdoing the data that the audience actually doesn't need or doesn't understand.
Yeah, and I think that's key, because if you've got a structure, then the structure should help you focus in on what you're reporting on and why. And so I guess this is part of that conversation with the chair, at least, as to, okay, here I've got it. So if you're struggling, if you haven't got a structure or you have a structure that you're kind of grappling with and you're not that happy with, I think this is probably a good one to start with. And I guess, to use.
Or even if you're finding, sorry, just it may not be, you might be kind of happy with it, but you might be finding that directors are sort of wanting to re-prosecute commentary during board meetings, or you think you've told them something but it's raising questions and you're not quite sure. So even listening to the board's discussion or question points at that piece in the board agenda can give you an indication about whether your CEO report is actually hitting the mark for your audience.
I think that's a really good point. In fact, I was talking with a CEO last week and we're talking about the board report, and one of the questions they said, and it was sort of a throwaway line but it was actually serious, was sometimes I feel like not all of my report is read, and that may be the case. However, I do think if you've got a really good structure that you can repeat and use every time, then you're less likely to have, you know, pages and pages of information where information gets lost. And I have to say that it's also annoying when you're reading reports. So if you've, you know, I'm on a few boards and some of the reports are lengthy, and in fact, the boards that I'm on, the reports are great. But I think the thing is often that if you read something, or you might sort of do, I do a quick skim of reports and then you go back to it and you can't find things. And that's quite annoying from a reader's perspective. So this should really help with that.
Yeah, that's right. So in the same way you have a meeting cadence, you know, the rhythm, then you're a template and a structure of your CEO report gives you the author, gives you the reader sort of an idea about where everything is, and you can make decisions about where you put your emphasis as well. So let's get to the structure.
Let's get into specifics. Okay, so three plus three. So what does that mean? What's three plus three? What does that actually mean?
So you've got three main topics that you're speaking to.
So three headings.
Three headings. And then under those three headings are then subtopics of that as well.
Okay, so three main headings, and every heading has three subheadings.
Pretty much.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. All right.
And of course, you decide, you the author with your chair and or the board. In my situation, the board delegated it to a couple of people on the board and I worked with them. But you decide what those main headings are and what those subheadings are. But what we've done is actually come up with some suggested main topics or main headers, and then some suggested subheaders as well as a bit of a guide. So just move around the words to contextualize it to your organization or your audience. It doesn't have to be definitive, but it does give a little bit of a guide. So, and in whichever sequence is important to you as well. So
the first three main headings, yes, that's what we'll go for. Okay, your top three headings. What are they? The headings, not the subheadings, yes.
The main headings are financial performance.
Yep. So financial.
Operational updates is your second main header.
Yep.
And then strategic initiatives is your third main header.
Okay.
Now, you don't have to do that in that sequence. Whatever is important to your organization, which can be contextualized to whatever is going on in your organization at the time, could put that in a completely different sequence.
I would personally put strategic first, but, you know, like if your board wants financial first, then we put financial first.
That's exactly right. But you're pretty much covering off, wouldn't you agree, Michelle, that the main things that a board's actually really wanting to know.
100%. My first question, though, I guess, is this where the financial report goes, or is there a separate financial report, or is this the explanation of the numbers?
So the way that I've seen this be done is it's a separate financial report in terms of your monthly accounts, where you would have what is your monthly financial performance, you know, what's your cash flow, what's your balance sheet, those sorts of things, depending on how your finance committee and your board like that. I've seen it where that is actually a separate report, but the CEO in the CEO report is writing a commentary to the financial performance of the business, which could be in a narrative, and they might be pulling out some highlight KPIs that they just want the board to look at.
Yeah, and I think as well, if you're, for example, updating the board on, you know, funding agreements or timelines or acquittals or relationships with funders, you know, that might be all stuck under there. But I guess, yeah, I mean, the CEO definitely has part of it, but I guess I normally see the financial report separately, but I think it's really key the CEO actually has the narrative around as it then relates to the business.
That's exactly right. And you might put in there, to make it easier for the board as well, you know, a detailed monthly accounts or the detailed financial reporting is on page X or item X of the board agenda. Or what? So you're also directing your reader to the more detailed elements. And what your board's obviously going to be doing is going, okay, the CEO's analysis is this in the CEO report, and then I can look at the financials and see how they drew that analysis or any particular issues that have arisen out of the financial reports that they want me to be aware of.
Yeah. Okay. So then if we go stick with finances, or finance is your first main heading, and then under the financial main heading, what would you say are your three subheadings?
So that's where you could be looking at any particular opportunities or challenges that are occurring within your revenue. And of course, that's contextualized to your business, depending on whether you're grant funded and or block funded, and it, you know, it's $1 million divided by 12, or whether you account for seasonality.
Or you might sell training and development, or you might sell, you know, whatever to, you know, however your revenue is derived. Yep.
That's right. Now, if your revenue is all good that month or for that reporting period, there may actually be nothing much that you're actually reporting on, except to say it's performing
on track
to the way you've projected or expected. That's right. But equally, if you're like what you just talked about, a more retail model, which is you're selling training courses through a month and you've projected 15 training courses you're going to sell within that period, but you've only sold two, then you're going to have a full year challenge around achieving your revenue targets. And so you would provide some commentary on that.
Yeah. And I guess if I was on the board, I'd also want to read, what are you doing about it? Like, why? Like, if we expected 15 and you sold two, why? And then what are you doing about
it? It's a corrective action that, yeah, that's right. Then you might be talking about cash flow analysis, your balance sheet, making sure that, you know, the organization's solvent. You might have a particular financial strategy that the board has agreed to around your equity. And so you might want to put some commentary to the performance there as well. And then you might be looking at where you have some cost-saving initiatives, or you're concerned about profitability, and again, what you're actually doing about that.
Yeah. Okay. So that's good.
Now, some for-purpose and not-for-profits have a finance manager or a CFO, and they might be informing that part of the CEO report as well. And in some for-purpose or not-for-profit organizations, the CEO does all of that anyway, because they're too small to, they might have a bookkeeper who does the accounts but doesn't do the analysis.
Yeah. But I think even in the larger ones, you know, your job as CEO is to understand it, to know it, to be able to talk to it. And in particular, to be able to explain the variances, right? So to actually be able to say this has happened or this has happened. And I think to say it in a way that the board can quickly grab the why and what's important, what's being managed. And I think be really simple and transparent, like what's happened, what are you doing about it? What's the variant? Did we do better than we expected? Whatever. Like, I think that's the narrative. Like, I think you must do narrative and not just present figures.
Oh, of course. You've got to give the story to the figures. And I think there's also the opportunity when you're doing that narrative and you're doing that analysis on any of these main topics is to anticipate the kinds of questions that the board's going to ask you, and you can provide an answer in your narrative to address that, because that also makes the board discussion much more efficient, because they're not spending the board meeting trying to unpack what's in your CEO report because they're satisfied that their questions are being addressed in the way you've structured that. So if we go to the second main topic, that's operational
operations
updates.
Operational. Yep.
Yep.
Pick your word that works for your organization.
So you'd be really looking here around your business as usual. How is it performing against its metrics?
So that's assuming, one, that you've got metrics, you've got KPIs.
Good point. That's a very good point. Get those up and running.
But I think as a CEO, if you don't, or if you're new in the job and they haven't been set it or they haven't been agreed, I think it's really incumbent on you to make sure you do have them. It actually makes your life easier. You've got something to report against. So yes, absolutely. All your standard KPIs and any trends in your operations that you're seeing.
Any concerns or issues, or even positive regarding customer experience.
Yeah, so feedback. But you'd also probably put in here, wouldn't you, all your standard like HR metrics? So if you had a, I mean, I used to do it just as a little box, you know, like a it's something you don't need to make a big deal of unless, for example, there's something wrong. But I think it's, you know, if you were dealing with a board that likes to see it, then you just, you know, you have turnover or departures or whatever, right? Like you have all your standard metrics just there, just done, just easy. Get someone to put them in your report every reporting.
And if you're putting your HR metrics, think about the HR metrics that are important to the board from a sort of compliance or regulatory perspective. So you'd be looking at your workers' comp, any incidents.
Yeah, absolutely. Any risk.
That's right. So the board is across that. If you've got any risks around Fair Work.
So actually, would you, you'd probably put like a WHS heading here?
Yeah. Or you could put HR and then within that you could have,
Health and safety. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. As you said, you could have turnover. I've seen where they've used like turnover, accumulated sick leave, as well, because those indicators can talk to the health of the people in terms of is there high turnover and high sick leave. That speaks to culture, which obviously we've touched on before as well. So you might put those metrics in there as well, because that tells your board, gives them some lead indicators to the culture or the health of the organisation or the people within it.
And then I guess what any sort of standard BAU type programs, figures reporting on that, a bit of commentary on that. So all that sort of operational but not strategic, because the strategic is our next heading.
That's right. You also want to factor in, depending on the type of NFP you are, but I would also put customer metrics in there.
Oh, in your operational.
So, so if you've got complaints or incidents, or if you do scores like, you know, the Net Promoter Score or things like that as well, you would put that in there as well, because, again, that tells the board currently the performance of the organization through the customer lens.
And also things like, you know, services. So depending on what you're doing, you might just have your standard number of services delivered or received or like whatever, right? Like whatever is relevant for you, whatever metrics are relevant for you. And again, I think getting, you know, this in table form or whatever form it is, standard, always done, same format. So, you know, where, you know, hopefully you've, if you don't have the system set up, you can get the system set up so that you can pull this information quickly, easily, without pain and suffering every time you need to pull a report. And then whether it's you or someone else who drops these figures into the report, but also then the board knows where to look for these figures. And one thing I would actually add is I would do trends rather than, you know, that month, or I would always try and, you know, if you report monthly, for example, I would do 3 monthly figures just to show trends, and then obviously you could do your year analysis or whatever. But I think to just do monthly figures without any kind of color or trend around it is, yeah, pretty meaningless. Really. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. You might also, in that BAU, you might want to talk a little bit to stakeholders. So if you're talking to funders, so under your customer, could be stakeholder, you might want to do some commentary or narrative there about what's going on with your particular stakeholder, i.e. your funder.
So this is an interesting one, isn't it? Because it might be that that is operational, or it might be that that is strategic. Like, and I guess that's where, right, that's where you have to think, and it has to be customised, because it might be that stakeholders are sitting properly in strategic, or they might be in operational, or it might be that they're actually in both, depending on the stakeholders. But yeah, I think that's one of those areas which you could see properly could sit in either or both, really, depending on the stakeholder.
As I say, or both. You could be working quite intensively with a stakeholder in that time period on a BAU matter that the board has visibility on, and you're really just giving an update to that. But equally, you could be working with your stakeholders with a view to the future, or a view that to a particular objective in your strategic plan, and that is that strategy.
Yeah. Well, and if you have members, you'll have them in your operational update, whatever your, you know, your member metrics or engagement or whatever events, it could be anything, webinars, anything. All right, so next heading.
So let's go to then the next third one. So the third one then is your strategic initiatives. So it's your third main header. And to me, that's all the fun stuff.
I guess that's what I mean. I actually would put it up front, but I think it is also I put it up front for a number of reasons. I think one, because I think that reminds the board their strategic engagement. But also I think this is the important stuff, right? Like, not that BAU is not important, but this is the important stuff. And it might be that decisions are made here or required to be made here. You might be asking the board about decisions. But this is probably also what the board's most interested in.
Well, it leads right into what the objective of their role, right, is to set direction. And so they can't sort of give you the CEO direction and work with you on the strategy unless they've got all this information. And I think, and we've spoken about that in previous podcasts, haven't we, is that particularly when you've got a skills-based board, they don't necessarily have the depth within the sector knowledge, and you, the CEO, do have that. And providing this information regularly through your CEO reporting means that they're accumulating that knowledge as part of their role. So if we are talking about strategy, strategic initiative, strategic focus, whatever you want to call it, it is about strategy, that's where you'd be reporting on your progress against your strategic plan?
Yeah, I would structure that against, you know, your, like, your pillars or your whatever you've got in your strategic plan, try and report in the same format, because I think it actually makes your life easier. But also what it does is, as you go through your strategic plan, it becomes easier to see and clearer to talk about how you're achieving your strategic objectives. And that's then good for your annual report and, you know, all the other reporting you need to do. So reporting on strategic goals.
You'd be doing some market analysis in this, of what's actually happening within your sector or within the broader market as well. So that could be providing updates to the board, anything that you're seeing that you think is important for them to be aware of that might lead into a step change within your strategy, or you might see it as something that requires a decision at some point. What else would you put in that one?
Did you say risk already?
No, I haven't. Good point.
I see strategy and risk as always going together. And I guess then I'm just going back to what we said about operational, and whether you put in something like your WHS, you know, just all your incidents and all that, I would keep that operational. But I think in terms of that bigger risk analysis, it's almost more that forward-looking risk. So what's happening in the market or with, you know, the other players of the market, you know, what this may mean for you in terms of your service delivery or funding, or, you know, so I'd look at that. But also, you know, not that risk is probably the right heading here, but legislative change or anticipation around changes in structures or legislation or regulations and potential impacts. I think that all goes in that strategy heading for me.
But I think the way you write to those points is important too within your CEO report. It's not just a brain dump of here's everything that's going on in the sector, I just want to keep you updated. It's got to be a here's a summary of what I'm seeing as the CEO, and these are the possible implications.
Correct, absolutely. Why are they relevant? Like, why are you telling the board this particular piece of information? Because I think from a reader perspective, it's, yes, great, it's interesting, but there has to be a why. I'm telling you this why. And I think it's really important that you as a CEO get in the habit of thinking, why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because even that one-liner, which becomes really obvious to you as the CEO because you're living and breathing it day by day, it just refocuses the board as to why it's important. And I do also think it means you have better conversations, because the number of times people will say, I feel like the board's not engaged, or they're silent, or they're not asking enough questions. And look, absolutely, there are instances where the board is not engaged and should be asking more questions. But sometimes I also think it's that little bit of helping them to be engaged. Like, I'm telling you this, or another player in the sector's doing this. This could be interesting for us, or could be potentially impact on funding for us because da 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 da. Like, I just, that one or two sentences is really important to, I think, to get a more engaged board. You can temper this, right? Like, if you've got experts on your board, that's fine. But if you have independent people, or you, as you say, you've got a skills-based board with a range of people, you're going to get more out of them, I think, if you just give that extra sentence as to why it's important. Why are you telling them?
And then it becomes really helpful in the board meeting when you are presenting or taking questions on the CEO report, that if you're sort of saying, this is what's going on, this is the implications on the organization or the strategy or our direction, is that then you're most likely going to ask the board for something, a decision on something, a step change in something. And that makes it easier for the board to join all of the dots. And you're also then hopefully going to get a more responsive reaction as well from the board so that you can keep moving forward. Because we live in a world where things are moving super fast. Nothing stays static for very long. Things we assumed, you know, not too long ago are suddenly different. And you've got to keep the board. But I feel as CEOs, you can't wait for people to catch up to that. So you've got to help people accelerate that as well to be able to get your needs met for the organization.
I think the only thing that I also would add to this, I think this structure is good and I think it's up to people to order it how they want and kind of word it how they want. I think if you are going to ask the board to make a decision or give you permission to do something, like if something's outside your delegations or you need some strategic direction or you need a decision made, I would always put that up front first above everything. So decisions, and put that right up front. And then you can say, you know, refer to section blah down below. I'm a big fan of numbers in the report. So you could have these headings 1, 2, 3, 1.1, 1.2, for the subheadings 1.3. Then it's easy to cross-reference if you need to say, look, this decision, see more information below it, 2.4 or whatever, right? Like, I just think that really logical, clear structure helps everybody. So, I mean, I think it's a really good structure. I think the only thing to add is just to make sure that if you are asking for a decision, you put it right up front. Could be even a separate heading, you know, decision, like straight up front, and then you can go with the headings and put the detail in the right place in the headings.
Absolutely. And you can also align that with your agenda, with the board agenda as well. So we talked about the board agenda being structured in a way for decisions, yep, for discussion, for noting, those sorts of things as well. And suddenly you've got reporting that matches the agenda, makes it easier for everybody to kind of synthesize all of that together. So if we're summarizing the 3+3 CEO report structure, you have main topics, as Michelle said, doesn't have to be in this sequence. You sequence it the way that's relevant to you and your organization, your board, your preference, but you'd be looking at including financial performance, you'd be looking at including operational performance and updates, and then you'd be looking at including strategy and strategic initiatives. Under each of those main headers, there would be subheaders.
Yeah, sounds great. And hopefully that makes life easier.
Easier for everybody.
Easier.
If you found this episode interesting and something resonated with you and you would like more information, please go to our website, thenfpceo.com.au, for other resources. See how we can help you through the several services we offer, and please reach out.